Tis one of the best discretions of a woman as ever I did look upon.
And did he send you both these letters at an instant?
Within a quarter of an hour.
Pardon me, wife. Henceforth, do what thou wilt. I rather will suspect the sun with cold than thee with wantonness. Now doth thy honour stand in him that was of late an heretic, as firm as faith.
Tis well, no more. Be not as extreme in submission as in offence. But let our plot go forward. Let our wives yet once again, to make us public sport, appoint a meeting with this old fat fellow, where we may take him and disgrace him for.
There is no better way than that they spoke of.
How? To send him where they'll meet him in the park at midnight? Oh, fie, fie, you'll never come.
You say he has been thrown in the rivers and has been grievously beaten as an old woman. Methinks there should be terrors in him that he should not come. Methinks his flesh is punished. He shall have no desires.
So think I too.
Devise but how you'll use him when he comes, and let us too devise to bring him thither.
There is an old tale goes that Herne the Hunter, sometime a keeper here in Windsor Forest, doth all the winter time at still midnight walk round about an oak with great ragged horns, and there he blasts the tree and takes the cattle and makes milch kine yield blood and shakes a chain in a most hideous and dreadful manner. Oh, you have heard of such a spirit. And well you know the superstitious idle-headed eld received and did deliver to our age this tale of Herne the Hunter for a truth.
Why, yet there want not many that do fear in deep of night to walk by this Herne's oak. But what of this?
Mary, this is our device. That Falstaff at that oak shall meet with us, disguised like Herne, with huge horns on his head.
Well, let it not be doubted, but he'll come, and in this shape. When you have brought him thither, what shall be done with him? What is your plot?
Aha, that likewise have we thought upon. And thus, Nan Page, my daughter, and my little son, and three or four more of their growth, we'll dress like urchins, oofs, and fairies, green and white, with rounds of waxen tapers on their heads and rattles in their hands. Upon a sudden, as Falstaff, she and I are newly met, let them from forth a saw pit rush at once with some diffused song. Upon their sight, we two in great amazedness will fly. Then let them all encircle him about and fairy-like to pinch the unclean knight and ask him why that hour of fairy revel in their so sacred paths he dares to tread in shape profane.
And till he tell the truth, let the supposed fairies pinch him sound and burn him with their tapers.
The truth being known, we'll all present ourselves, dishorn the spirit, and mock him home to Windsor.
The children must be practiced well to this, or they'll ne'er do it.
I will teach the children their behaviours, and I will be like a jackanapes also, to burn the knight with my taper.
That will be excellent. I'll go by the vizards.
My Nan shall be the queen of all the fairies, finely attired in their robe of white.
That silk will I go by. And in that tire shall Master Slender steal my Nan away and marry her at Eton. Go, send to Falstaff's chate.
Nay, I'll to him again in name of Broom. He'll tell me all his purpose. Sure he'll come.
Fear not you that. Go, get us properties and tricking for our fairies.
Let us about it. It is admirable pleasures and very honest knavery.
Go, Mistress Ford, send quickly to Sir John to know his mind. I'll to the doctor. He hath my goodwill. And none but he to marry with Nan Page. That Slender, though well-landed, is an idiot. And he, my husband, best of all affects. The doctor is well-moneyed, and his friends potent at court. He, none but he, shall have her, though 20,000 worthier come to crave her.